Well, good morning. Everybody good today? Man, it is good to be back. I've missed y'all for the last couple of weeks. Been 2 weeks ago, I was out teaching at a church in McCall, Alabama, telling them about what God's doing out here and how God wants to move in their life as well. And then this last week, I was out suffering for Jesus in the beauty of Costa Rica. On a mission trip there with my son, but man, it is good to be back. This week we'll be in Psalm 18. There are 50 verses, count them, 50 verses in Psalm 18. It's been a little while since I've got to speak here, but don't worry, I'm not going to read 50 verses. So when you go home later, when you get to where you stay, I want you to read over Psalm 18. It's great, but we are going to speak about some of it this morning. I want to read the first 6 verses in Psalm 18. Everybody with me? All right, here we go. I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. The cords of death encompassed me. The torrents of destruction have assailed me. The cords of Sheol have entangled me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord to my God. I cried for help. From his temple, he heard my voice, and my cry to him reached his ears. Will you pray with me? Father, we thank you for this day. We pray and trust that this is your word. It is God-breathed. It is useful for all sorts of things here this morning. And so, Father, wherever we're at in relationship with you, if that's yet to begin or has been going on for 50-plus years, we pray that in these few moments, God, that you draw us closer to you and closer to each other's family. God, build your church out here. Build your kingdom. This is for you. And God, just we get to benefit with the fellowship of one another. We love you. We thank you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Man, it is good to be able to call upon the Lord. I want to just point out a few things this morning. Verse 1, David starts with this psalm and he says, I love you, O Lord. That is a good place to start, right? Isn't that a good place to be in your relationship to tell God that I love you? In fact, I believe it's a good place to start, but see, this goes way beyond religion and borders into the uncharted, sometimes unknown waters of relationship, right? This is a much deeper thing than saying that we know about God, right? You could pass anybody on the street today, and a good portion of the people here in Alabama, as you pass by, are going to say, I have some knowledge of God. I believe in who God is. But when you ask the question, do you love God? That's a much different question, right? It goes beyond religion, and it goes into relationship. I want to ask you a question this morning. Do you love him? Do you love him? You see, I like you would say yes, but that's often the church thing to say, right? We gather together in the name of Jesus. So if a guy with a microphone and a Bible open asks, do you love God? Of course, we're going to say yes, right? But when we love him, we have relationship with him, right? Do you really love him? The good news is that he loves you. In fact, this morning, I'm going to be bold enough to tell you this, that if I ask a question, do you love God this morning? And you were to be bold enough and say, I can't stand God. In fact, he angers me. I'm really, the Greek word for that is pissed off at God right now, and I just can't stand anything about him. The good news is that he calls back and still says, I love you. You see, your response has nothing to do based on how God loves you. In fact, your actions, your situation, none of that bears any resemblance on if God loves you or not. The word is clear. He loves you, he cares for you, and he's compassionate towards you. He is a kind and loving father, desiring relationship, desiring intimacy. He desires someone who doesn't just say, I've heard of God, I know him. He wants us, like David, to say, I love you, O Lord. He wants us for that to be not just a Sunday answer, right? He wants that to be every day of the week, that in the good and the bad and the tough and the easy, he wants us to be able to say, like David, I love you, O Lord, my strength. The good news is, no matter how you feel, he loves you and he cares for you this morning. when we love Him, like verse 2 says, we have relationship and He becomes our Father and we become son or daughter. He is our friend, the Bible tells us, our rock, our fortress, our refuge, our shield. Why would we need a shield? Life feels like a battle sometimes, right? We are in constant battle. He is our shield and our salvation, a place where we take refuge, a safe place to seek in times of trouble. He is good and He loves you. Do you know Him? If you know Him, do you love Him? Is it more than just a passing head knowledge, the fact that you have relationship? As David says here in verses 4 and 5, when life attacks and sin entangles, when this happens, relationship is hindered. Man, when it feels like life is coming at you so fast, and as David says, he uses the wording here in verses 4 and 5, the cords of death have encompassed me. Some of us may feel like that. Some of us may be in the very grips of that entanglement right now, and it feels just like David says, the torrents of destruction have assailed me. It feels like life is crashing down. And when this happens, man, it's easy to let relationship be hindered. In fact, it struck such a chord with me, the song that Jesse sang, a beautiful description this morning, and him and Jonathan as they played, this idea of that we as people, just because we know God, just because we love God, it doesn't mean that everything will be perfect. In fact, oftentimes we will feel as a man standing outside the castle, tossing pebbles up at a window and saying, God, do you hear me? I'm here. I'm not leaving this door. By the way, I don't know how you picture this. I don't even know how it ties in. But for me, it's like this stone tower. I don't picture all the gold and all the palatial things. I just picture an old school stone tower, maybe a drawbridge it lets down. That's just my crazy mind. But that's what I picture, throwing stones up at the window. Even back then, I don't even picture the glass. I'm just hoping I get through and something touches and says, man, my child is out there. I want to listen. I want to hear. I want to have fellowship. And by the way, that doesn't mean that what I'm asking for down there as I toss that pebble up, he will look down and say, yes, my son, you may have that. It may be wait. It may be no, I've got a better way. But that's the imagery that we have, the relationship of him. David understands this when he says, my shield, my fortress, my refuge, my salvation, all of this. And even when life is tough and relationship feels hindered, again, it is good news because God is not the one who has moved away. I want you to take heart in that this morning. You may be like friends I've heard before that say, man, I haven't heard his voice in a long time. I want you to know he's still there. He still wants to have relationship and fellowship with you. If you know him, he's your father, you are son or daughter, and he waits patiently and is encouraging you, maybe even through today, through things you've heard, through things you've seen, through a smile, through a hug, through a handshake, through some chicken and rice, amen? Through any of these things, he is encouraging relationship and saying, I desperately desire relationship with you. He's encouraging you to continue to wait on him, to trust on him. You see, most of us, even those of us that would call ourselves believers, we live lives to where if God shows up, that would be awesome. But if he doesn't, maybe we got it handled on our own. We don't think about starting a day like David and saying, I love you, O Lord. Would you be my God today? We live life as if it all depends on us. The good news is life does not depend on you. Anybody want to say amen to that? Amen. How many of us have been in charge of our own life and messed that up at times? I'm preaching to the choir here. That's me. But man, when I let him be my God, let him be the good father that leads and guides, I too, like David, can say, man, he is my shield, my comfort, my refuge, my salvation. I want you to know this morning that God's not disappointed in you. He's not mad. He is patiently waiting and encouraging you through the power of his Holy Spirit this morning. My son, my daughter, seek refuge and relationship in me. What messes us up here is our own sin, like David. It entangles and clouds our judgment on God's character. We think that maybe he isn't good. Anybody ever bold enough to say that? I don't think God is good. Because if God was good, he wouldn't forget me like he does. Maybe you feel that way. I want you to know this morning, he is good. Sometimes it entangles who we think we are. We feel like our sin is just too far. We've messed up too much. In fact, the church has done a disservice of offering people the idea that we must clean up first before we come to God. My friend, you cannot clean up on your own. man, there's that may bum some of you out because you've been living your whole life that if I just do the right things or say the right prayer or do the right dance, he'll take notice and he'll be happy in me. You can do nothing. That shouldn't bum you out. That offers freedom, right? It's already been done for you. Amen. Religion equals doing, and relationship equals the fact that it's already done. It's already been paid for. In fact, if you don't believe me, I want you to ponder this morning. If you feel you've gone too far, or maybe you have to clean up first, I want you to listen to this verse in Romans. I've been on this all week. I'm sharing this with Jesse earlier. Listen to this in Romans 5, 20 and 21. I want to read it in two ways to you this morning as we close some time out today. It says, now the law came to increase the trespass, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. I want you to listen to that part again. When sin increased, grace abounded all the more. So here's what happens when we sin. My Bible tells me that grace is going to be there even more and even more and even more. So that as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through the righteousness leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now that might sound a lot churchy to you this morning. It may sound like I don't quite understand all that. I want you to listen to this morning from the Message. This will bless your heart and hopefully speak to right where you're at this morning, because I read that and I get it. I see that sin abounds and grace abounds all the more. I understand that, but I want you to listen to the beauty of this passage in the paraphrase called the Message. Here's what it says. All that passing laws against sin did was produce more lawbreakers. But sin didn't and doesn't have a chance in the competition with the aggressive forgiveness we call grace. Listen to this. When it's sin versus grace, grace wins hands down. All sin can do is threaten us with death, and the end of it, grace, because God putting everything together again through the Messiah invites us into life, a life that goes on and on and on, a world without end. This morning, I want you to be encouraged and empowered by this. That when it's sin versus grace, we got a little thing going on right now in the world like March Madness. You've seen that. You heard of it, right? Everybody goes crazy. It's a multi-billion-dollar industry of doing these brackets. And right now, if you filled one of those out, it's trash. It's toast, right? It's been crazy. A 16 beat a 1 the other day. First time it's ever. But if you picture it in this way, what he's saying here, that when grace goes up against sin, it doesn't matter, right? Grace always wins. But man, I don't know about you, somehow in my life, when I sin, I think the grace of God is not enough to cover that, because I live in shame, I live in fear, I live in a place of feeling like I got to do something to clean myself up. When grace and sin encounter one another, grace always wins. Jesse's going to come this morning and play just a little bit. I want to encourage you with just a moment of prayer. I want you to stop just for a second. And I want you just to think about what you've heard this morning as these guys come. What sin are you hanging on to? What sin has entangled you? What does it feel like that is just encroaching on your life so much that it feels like death? What are you saying right now to yourself, maybe your religious self, of I've got to do this and I've got to do that and man, I've just got to make things better. I want you to close your eyes. I want you to just listen to the Holy Spirit and think about this. That grace wins and there's freedom in that. And that if we too can count on Him, like David says, that you alone are my deliverer. Take heart this morning that He is the only one that can deliver you from your sin. I get people all the time, I don't know, I just want to be completely transparent this morning. I went on a mission trip last week, and you must say, man, that's cool, and you're up here teaching. You must have it all together. I want you to know, I sin every single day. I've probably sinned since I've been here and just don't realize it yet. I'm not some super religious person. I don't, like, have an S tattooed on my chest because I have the name Pastor. Doesn't make me any different. The only thing that can deliver me from my sin is the grace of Jesus. that's, I'll be honest, in a religious culture and one that we've been told, you gotta clean up. That might feel disheartening because you think, man, it's up to me. I got to do it. This life, nobody, in fact, I just feel led by the Holy Spirit to say this. Some of you may say, man, everybody has abandoned me. Every bit of family's burned bridges with me. Maybe some of your own doing, but you say, nobody is there for me. I can't count on anybody, Keith. It's all up to me. I just feel the Holy Spirit telling me just to tell you this morning, rest in Him. Rest in the fact that He not only can deliver you, but He wants to. You say, but you don't know. You don't know what I've done. I want to tell you what I know. The Scripture says is it doesn't matter what you've done. See, we put grades on sin, but even if you want to grade it in your own mind, it doesn't matter what that sin is. You come to me, I'm going to tell you that the Bible says you can be forgiven. He will and wants to deliver you. And I want everybody, I've asked you to be in a state of prayer. I want you to look at me this morning. I want you to trust me. To my knowledge, I've never lied to anybody out at this place when you come and talk to me. I'm a liar. I lie to people at times. We all have. But I want you to know, I've honestly tried to be as truthful as I can every time that I've been out here with you. I want you to listen to me with a heart of love and know that the Holy... I didn't plan this. It's not in my notes. The Holy Spirit is telling me to tell you this right now. It may be for one person. It may be for all of us. It may be for me to think on later. I don't care in this life who has let you down, who has left you, who has quit contact with you, who has said you will never be anything. I want you to know the Holy Spirit is telling me, just trust in me. I won't let you down. I won't leave you. Like Jesse said, I won't forsake you. It may feel like it at times when we're out throwing those pebbles of like, God, where are you? Listen to me. He hears every pebble hit the glass. He sees every shadow cast upon His door. He sees you. And He not only sees you, He doesn't see you as this marred sinner, this person that is beyond help, that is beyond redemption. He sees you as beautiful and worthy and says, I won't leave you. I'm here. In fact, I think there's beauty in the waiting. There's beauty in tossing the pebble, if you will. Just wait. Just hold on. That's telling me, man, He wants to set some people free of that this morning. You might be carrying that around about nobody's here for me. And in earthly standards, maybe that's right for you. I hope that we're changing that. I hope we've stepped into your life because you've stepped into mine and you're helping me. I want you to know that. But He won't let you down. Even if I let you down, I will. I will let you down. If you hang around me long enough, I will let you down. Ask these people who's been around me enough. Jesse just said amen. I know I've let him down. But He won't. I just want to pray and then just listen to the words of these songs. If you want to sing, you can sing. But, man, just take time just to listen and say, man, how does this apply to me? God, is this really true? Can I count on you like this guy's saying I can? Trust Him. That's what God's doing out here, man. It's opening up this idea of, man, it's not about religion. It's about relationship. We got to count on Him. There's no other thing to count on. You're counting on anything else, it'll let you down. Let's trust Him at His Word this morning. You pray with me? God, Your Word tells us, like Jesse said, that in this world we will have trouble. Not that we might, not that we could, we will. But Jesus said, take heart. Take heart, my daughters, my sons. I've overcome the world. God, Your Word tells us that if we believe that Jesus has changed our life, transformed us, lives inside of us with His Holy Spirit, Your Holy Spirit. Father, and so with that, we just trust in that. We say that we are counting on You. All chips are in the center of the table. We count on nothing else, not ourselves, not our pastor, not our church, not any of these things, not religion, not good works. All of those are just futile. We can't count on those things, but we can count on You. We trust on You. We are throwing stones up at Your window this morning. We are casting shadows at Your door. And whatever the needs are, wherever we're at, let us know. Let us know when we leave this place, regardless if those situations are handled, regardless if you've come through today or it'll be tomorrow, it'll be next year or 10 years from now. Let us leave this place and know that You're hearing every stone. You're seeing every shadow. You look at us as beautiful, as redeemed, if we trust in Jesus, as sons and daughters, that we're not condemned, we're not walking in shame, we're walking in the courage and the hope of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's all we count on. That's all we've got. We count on you, and that's enough. Speak that over us this morning. Speak to our hearts. Bring us into relationship, to fellowship, to intimate relationship with you like David, that we can say, I love you, Lord. We know that you love us. Help us to be at that place with you. We love you. Speak. Holy Spirit, speak.